Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramid and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Again.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them in.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down.
I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain.
Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain.
Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man.
When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man.
And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us, cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
Money.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Saturday, December 3rd. Wow. Already in the month of December. December the 3rd of 2016. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, got a very, very important topic for you today. Got to talk about this whole thing called love. You know, this is the time of year when love is in the air. You know, holidays are here. People are sharing gifts. The Christmas spirit, if you will, even though it's a pagan holiday, we understand all of the stuff behind it. We still could at least participate in the spirit of giving. That should not just be this time of year. Actually, this spirit of giving should be 24/7, 365. Unfortunately, there's an emphasis on it during this particular equinox. But nevertheless, it is this ideal of love that's in the air. But it is this ideal of love, it's the principles of love that are not taught. One of the greatest books I ever read about 20 years ago when I was a young minister, and I used to follow Core Ridge Ministries way, 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 way back in the day that you youngsters may not all have know anything about, Dr. D. James Kennedy and Dr. James Dobson. Dr. D. James Kennedy and Dr. James Dobson were two people that were very instrumental in my coming up as a minister. When I was a licensed and ordained minister, both of these Caucasian gentlemen were Dr. D. James Kennedy had a ministry that was profound. You can see a lot of stuff. You know, he was born in Georgia. You know, basically grew up in Fort Lauderdale. Ministries inspired a lot of people. He was kind of like the Joel Osteen and the T.D. Jakes way back in the day. So he has a lot of good stuff, Dr. D. James Kennedy. You can Google it. It comes up a lot of great information on Dr. D. James Kennedy. Then Dr. James Dobson. Dr. James Dobson, another guy, very powerful. He had a ministry called Focus on the Family. Dr. Dobson was very instrumental as me growing up because of the lot of ministry. Both of these gentlemen were clinical psychologists. That's why I really enjoyed a lot of what they talked about. But not only were they Christians, but they were Christian psychologists. So Dr. James Kennedy had a book called The Strong-Willed Child. At the time, I was a young father. My daughter, along with, I don't know if you guys heard of Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll, another Caucasian minister, off the Hizzle for Shizzle, a lot of great stuff. I really enjoyed Chuck Swindoll because, again, he was an ex-Marine, and so I was able to identify with a lot of his teachings as well. Dr. James Dobson had a book called The Strong-Willed Child. My daughter was born, and, man, she was just for a girl. And it's interesting because now my granddaughter has been kicked out of 3 daycares already. And my granddaughter has that same disposition. And Dr. Dobson has a book called Love Must Be Tough. And it was, you know, again, old book way back in the day. People don't really read it anymore. But, man, the information in that book, very profound. I want to talk to you today a little bit about some of that, not necessarily the exact book. The book has a lot of great information, but more real-life stuff. And when we talk about this idea, brothers and sisters, of understanding love, man, it's something different about love. Because when you say love must be tough, love contains what I call the God factor. The reason love contains the God factor is because love is God. See, love is not a creation of God. Love is not an expression of God. Love actually is God. Love isn't an attribute or a characteristic of God. It's interesting because when I say love must be tough, what I'm saying is God must be tough. God must be tough, brothers and sisters. God is tough. And so when we talk about this, there are 17 characteristics that I want to focus on today. These 17 characteristics you have to oscillate or vibrate. And I use these words these terms very loosely because when we talk about characteristics and, you know, attributes, we're talking about things that we can identify with. So when I say a characteristic, I'm talking about, you know, like a particular quality. And so you are in love or you have love or you want to express love, you want to be love. The problem with relationships is we don't know what love is. Now, I'll be honest with you. I thought I knew what love was. I didn't really know what love was until, like, just recently. I had no clue. I thought I knew. 50 plus, almost 60 years on the planet. You're talking about a travesty. One of the greatest travesties of life is living your life and thinking that you know what love is, and you don't. The principles of love are tough, but at the same time, these principles are fair. They're firm, and they're consistent. If you don't get nothing from today's topic, please write down those 3 words I just mentioned, because that love is fair. Love is firm. And love is consistent. You will find relationships don't work is because they don't have those 3 attributes. The relationship, what you're doing is not fair, man. You're not fair. You know that what you're doing to your wife, or wife, what you're doing to your husband, or a girlfriend, what you're doing to your boyfriend, or a boyfriend, what you're doing, you know that's not fair because you know you wouldn't do it to yourself. See, in order for a unmarried to build or to be eligible for a married person or for to be married, you have to be firm with you have to be fair with yourself. You got to be firm with yourself. You got to be consistent with yourself first. Then you can be ready for courtship or you can be ready to date. You're not even eligible. And, you know, every time I was in a relationship, I wasn't even eligible because I was never in a relationship with myself. But yet I wanted to be in a relationship with someone else because I was scared. So I married my fear. So since I never dealt with my fear, I had to marry my fear. You see, one way or the other, no one gets out of life or alive. So the whole purpose for you being on earth is for you to get over your fear. So when you go to work, you're going to embrace your fear. With your children, they're going to encompass your fear. Your husband, you're going to marry your fear. Your wife, you're going to marry your fear. Your dog, he will possess your fear. The food will possess your fear. The air, everything in life embodies your fear because you draw what you fear about. You bring about what you fear about, period. So the goal in life is to have no fear so that way you don't draw nothing into your life. You bring about what you fear about. Job said it the best. I love the way Job said it. The thing that I fear the most has come upon me. So love is fear. But love isn't fear. Love is the absence of fear. So you can't experience love as long as you have fear. But unfortunately, every relationship you're in, you're attracted to this person because the person embodies the qualities that you fear. It's the craziest thing since sliced bread. But we don't understand that a characteristic is a particular feature. And so love is, there is these particular characters that are heuristics. So love is a character. Now a character is a feature or a trait. So what you have or what you're looking for is a part or a role. It's a symbol. It's a character. Now, you are a character in a play. You slice it up however you want it. Just watch the movie Avatar. It'll break it down for you. All the movies are saying the same thing. You're a host. And as a host, you're a character. As a character, you're an actor. As an actor, you are participating in a drama or in a play. It ain't real, but you think it real. You're walking around and you're having these emotional reactions because there is this marked brand on your body. Do you know that back in the day, tattoos, the origins of a tattoo, you know that tattoos was demonic symbols or spell symbols that was painted on the body so the person could always remember. That is the origin of a tattoo. So a tattoo was a spell. It was a mantra that was painted on your body, on your arm, on your waist. So when you saw it, you could regurgitate it and conjure up whatever it is that you was conjuring up. That's the origins of a tattoo. And people are getting tattoos every day and they don't understand what it is. So love, brothers, love is a symbol. It is a mark on your body. It's a drawing used in sorcery. It's a feature or a characteristic. Now that is the definition of the word character or characteristic. Now, please don't believe me. Please go to dictionary.com, any good dictionary, and look it up for yourself. Characteristics. So there are certain characteristics and certain traits that you are looking for. These characteristics and these traits, their origin was from sorcery. Tattoos, the tattoo, people who get tattoos on your body and on your skin, the origins of it was for sorcery. Now, you can slice it up any kind of way you want. That's the origins of it. That doesn't mean that's what you're doing. But it's important to understand the history of anything that you are partaking in. So we got to understand what love is, the history of love. Love is designed so that way you can experience certain characteristics. And these characteristics that you are experiencing, they are designed to soothe your fears. But we don't understand that the world doesn't draw to you what you think. It draws to you what you feel. So if you feel love is more of a powerful feeling than love. Now, everybody say that love is the most powerful. But since love doesn't exist until the removal of fear is present, then love is overwritten by fear. What does that mean? What does that mean? Now, you tell me if this is true for yourself. Don't go by what I'm saying. Now, I meet somebody, and I want to talk to them. But I'm nervous. But my desire to meet this person motivates me. But Even though I override it, I'm nervous, and it comes across in my speech, fumble over my words. I say something that I don't say. My palms get sweaty. Even though I am doing the act, I feel the fear, but I do it anyway. But the fear is there, is it not? Can anybody relate? What about your first time I played a football game? I was scared to death. I still played. I felt the fear, but I did it anyway. But I made mistakes because of my fear. The principles of love is the overriding of fear. The principle of love is the overriding of fear. The most important of these 17 principles is principle number 6, which states, relationships are constantly being tested by your fear. The testing takes place in many forms, but it usually involves with the individual pulling back. What is happening? If you're in a relationship and the person in the relationship is they're giving you space. That's what we like to call it. That's what the youngsters call it these days. Well, I'm giving him or her space. What they're doing is they're pulling back to see if you are foolish enough to initiate or to flirt or to follow. What does that mean? When someone pulls away from you, they are asking you, how important am I to you? They're not going to say it verbally, but what they're saying is, you find somebody, are you in a roller coaster relationship with a person in one day, out the other, in one day, out the other? Maybe the person is you. You know what you're doing? You're looking for that validation because your mate is not giving you what you need, so you questioning him. You're going to give him a test. Can this fool live without me? Let me see. So you're doing this test because you want a particular characteristic and a particular trait. And it's usually based upon fear. Now, the word trait is you're looking for a particular distinguishing mark. You're looking for a track. So a trait is a track, T-R-A-C-T. That's what you're looking for. Now, this track is like a particular destination. It is a particular identifying tactic. What you are doing is you're looking for something for you to land on. A tract is like a piece of land. You need foundation. So characteristics and traits. Characteristics is the mark. The track is the place or the land you want to put the mark on. That's what love is all about. Now, that may not make sense to you right now, but just remember that love has certain characteristics and traits. You're looking for a particular mark to place it on a particular body. You're looking for a treat. So a track is a track piece of land that gives you a treat. The treat is something that you regard in a specific way. It is a specific way that you behave. It is a payoff. It is a particular thing that you like. It is a tract is a treat. So characteristics and certain attributes are certain traits, which are tracts, which are treats. So you're looking for a payoff. And this payoff, again, is something that you're willing to bargain for. It's something that you're willing to negotiate for. It's something that you're willing to manage. And so love is about the management of these characteristics and these traits. So what are these characteristics? What are these traits? What are these principles? Number one, in a relationship, there's a phrase, you know, people say, you know, too hot. Or they say, like, when you are in a when you first meet and you're in this honeymoon stage. In the honeymoon stage, number one thing you cannot do is move too fast. In the honeymoon stage, you got to take one step at a time. In a relationship, love must be tough. Three things love must be: firm, fair, consistent, without a doubt. Please write that down. If you don't have that, these other things I'm talking about, isn't it a waste of your time? Are you firm? Are you fair? And are you consistent? If you're not, that's not love. Always embodies those three attributes. It is firm, it is fair, and it is consistent. Now, yesterday when I was talking about the show, and then I think it was sister, it was one of the sisters, said, so we're supposed to celebrate our husband's philanthropying or for or his flaws or his weaknesses. Oh, my husband is just messing up. And so remember I said yesterday, women, that you have to respect your husband at the time when he needs it the least. What am I saying? So your husband, is he messed up. He got paid. He was supposed to pay his bills. He took the bills, and he got a gambling problem. He gambled all the money away for your for the rent. Now you ain't got no rent. You mean tell me I'm supposed to celebrate that, Doc? I'm supposed to, you know, yep. Well, how long? Well, the Bible says 7 times 70. See, love is firm, love is fair, and it's consistent. Now, what is fair? Everybody's definition is different. What is firm? Everybody's definition is different. What is consistent? All I know is that every time I failed, the reason that I'm still married today is because my wife did these things for me. What did she do? She was firm, she was fair, she was consistent. I left, my wife said, you know, honey, you know, I love you, I appreciate you, but, yeah, I'm not going to wait around for you. I said, well, what does that really mean? She said, well, you know, I don't need you to wait around, I got somebody else. She said, okay, cool, I got somebody else too. I said, really? Yep. So I moved out, he moved in. That's fair, is it not? So let me make it this right. So you're going to cheat on me, but you want me to cheat on you. Is that fair? No, that's not fair, brother. So I was like, okay, yeah, turn around is fair play. Okay, hop off. Good. So it was fair. And then I came back around and I was like, well, you know what? No, so let's go ahead and get the divorce. And that's it. And so my wife was firm. And I was, every time I tried to talk to her, seeing her, just to see if she, how important am I to you? That's what happened in my marriage. That's why I cheated. That's why I left. Everything was, I did not feel important to my wife. Why? Because my wife has a big family. My wife's mother and father are pastors. She spent all, right now my wife take all, she's at the women, all the women of the church, she took them, they having a spa day. My wife is busy. She got a full-time job. She got two kids. She goes to school. She got a dog. My wife is nonstop. We went out on a date last night, and it's funny because she got a little tipsy, went home and passed out. Now, in a relationship with somebody like that who's busy all the time, sometimes I'm feel I spend more time alone, single, than I do. I spend more time by myself since I've been married for the last 8 years to my wife now than I have when I was single. So what examined my from a psychological standpoint of view, this is important because it's not what you're doing, man. It's why you're doing it. Why? You looking at what, and you're never asking why. So why did I cheat on my wife? Why did I pack up and move my shizness out? Number one, I don't feel important. If a man ain't got nothing to do, he out. If a man is in a relationship with a woman and he does not feel needed, that dude is gone. And he can hook up with some other female that makes him feel needed. So all of you strong-willed women, all of you phallic females out there, all you women who brought into this whole, you know, you can make the bacon and bring it home and cook it bullshitness, yeah, good luck with that. Because even though your man is with you physically, guarantee you he ain't there mentally. Trust me on that. So what's the problem? Let's break this down. Love must be tough. Three things. Again, it must be firm, it must be fair, and it must be consistent. Women, you got to be consistent. Men do stuff, and women do. We're testing the waters. But we have to start off with number one, which is the reason that the waters are being tested because we moved too fast in the beginning. So when I met my wife, we knew each other a month and we moved in. Now, I had been married for 25 years before that. I was single for 5 years and then I met my wife. 30 days after we met, we moved in. What the hell was that? Way too fast. Number one, in a relationship, people move too fast. In the beginning stage, you need to take it slow. In a honeymoon stage, you're going to be tempted to move fast. Man, don't meet somebody on Monday and freaking move in with them on Friday. Now, if you already done it, hey, too late. Can't cry or spill milk. Let's go to number two. Number one, don't move too fast. Number two, Don't discuss your personal inadequacies and your flaws in detail in a new relationship. You meet your man and you look at him, you open up your heart to him and you share with him, guess what you just did? You scared that fool to death. I met my wife and I told her I was raised in a cult. She's like, what? So y'all walked around in circles at night and y'all sprinkled chicken blood and the fire would woof go up in the air and y'all were saying mantras and chants. Yeah. You just saw her eyes. They look like saucers. Because I made the mistake of in a relationship, move number one, I moved too fast. First of all, I wasn't firm, I wasn't fair, and I wasn't consistent. Otherwise, I would still be in my first relationship. And then I tested the water because I didn't feel needed. Because every woman I know, especially black women, I have never met. I mean, my two sisters, they single right now. Why? Oprah. They are Oprah, Beyonce, modern. They the modern day women. What is that? Strong. They are phallic females. What is a phallic? Phallic represents the male genitalia. Most women I know are phallic females. My wife is a phallic female. What's her name? I tell her this all the time. We go last night. We went out to the car. I tell her, you go to the car door and you stand there. You don't open the car door. That's my job. She goes to the car door. She pauses and then she opens the door. Why? She can do it herself. Women. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I tell my wife, you don't take out the trash. My job. You know what she did this morning? Trash day. I slept in. She got up early. I go out there. I woke up. Guess what? Trash is on the curb. So when a man doesn't feel needed, guess what happens? He goes somewhere else. I don't understand it, women. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should be a man because you're too busy being the man. And men, you need to step your game up. I should have got my ass up earlier and took the trash out before my wife got up. So I need to stop being a female and start being a man. So the roles have reversed. Just like Willie Lynch said on the banks of Virginia Beach in 1712 or whatever, he says the psychological effects of slavery. Now, unfortunately, people think slavery is just race-related. Slavery, not everybody's a slave. So he did the whole role reversal. So now men are feminized, and the women are testosteronized. I just made that up. So number one, don't move too fast. Number two, don't open up too fast in a new relationship or any relationship. Why? Why not? See, great revelation brings about lower self-esteem. Now, people think opening up is good. It is when it's done in the right setting. But opening up in the wrong setting is a fatal mistake. Because it lowers your self-esteem instead of helping you to raise it. Now, we have to break that one down. That's a whole separate study. That's some psycho mumbo-jumbo. But in other words, brothers and sisters, they tell you to open up. Open up, yeah, open up. Be honest. But when you open up with somebody that doesn't have the therapeutical mentality, they don't know what to do with it. They think they're supposed to fix it. And so when I opened up to my wife, she was like, she know what to do. She's not a therapist. She didn't know that you're not supposed to do nothing. You're supposed to listen. You're not supposed to offer solutions. The whole point of therapy is to get it out. You ain't supposed to go. You ain't supposed to try to fix it. But we don't know. If somebody dies, what do? You don't know what to say. The best thing that you can say, if you know somebody and they just lost a loved one, sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. So sometimes we open up too fast. Number three, this is a big one. Remember, brothers and sisters, love takes time. To build a relationship, you got to take it one brick at a time, brick by brick. You got to lay a good foundation, brick by brick. Another principle, number four. In a relationship, give the other person an opportunity to get tired of you. What does that mean? Now, this is a big one, man. Number four, love. This is true love. If you really love, you ought to be in the person's face 24/7, 365. They'd never miss you. Give the person an opportunity to get tired of you. What I mean? Give the person an opportunity to, like, hey, my wife does it all the time. Why? She's busy. So that tells me that she has life outside of me. That's good. And then we come together, and that builds the life that we can have together. because she has other things that she does. I'm doing this right now. I'm doing my books, my shows, and my counseling. I got other things. So when we do come together, we actually do miss each other. So I've had the opportunity to miss her because she's not in my face 24/7. Number five, or I think this was number six. I mentioned this before. This is along the same line. You want to make sure, my brothers and sisters, if the person that you're with is not Mr. Wonderful and the woman that you're with is not Miss Marvelous, women, your man should be Mr. Wonderful. Men, your woman should be Miss Marvelous. If they're not at that point, you don't have to throw them back, but that is the mark. In other words, many of us settle. We get somebody and they're not what we want. They're not Mr. Wonderful. And you know it. You know it. But you're like, well, you know, he's okay. And you get somebody, man, and she's not Miss Marvelous. And so you tolerate and you settle and celebrate. Now, what is the time? Nobody knows. All I know is if I'm with somebody and she's not Miss Marvelous, women, if you're with somebody right now and he's not Mr. Wonderful, you got to do number six. That was number five, number six. And I mentioned this earlier. This is the most important out of all the things. I wasn't going through all of them. We'll just do seven. This is the most important. This is what you do. You're with somebody, and they might be Mr. Wonderful, but you don't know. You're with somebody, she might be Miss Marvelous, but you're not sure. You got to test it. How do you test it? This is the procedure by which you test it. You don't test it with your mouth, women. And men, you don't test it with your muscle. You don't go around and try to, you know, manhandle nobody or intimidate somebody. See, what we have to do now is we got to initiate this test. And this test is, how free am I to leave if I want to? Like right now, how free am I to leave if I want to? You ever ask yourself in a relationship, if you want to leave that relationship, are you free to leave? You want to test the grounds of the relationship? What you're saying, like I said before, is how important am I in this relationship? Or what would you do if you lost me? You ever ask your mate that? Go home and ask your mate that. Honey, what would you do if you lost me? Just ask your mate. They would say, sure, if you left tomorrow, I'd be throwing a party the next day. That might not be Mr. Wonderful. That might not be Miss Marvelous. How important? Now, I would like for everybody to ask their mate this question. How important am I to you? And wait. Don't keep talking. See, the problem is we don't allow people to process and think. You see, brothers and sisters, if you make a statement, allow the person to think about it and answer it. Don't answer it for them, because then you're giving them the solution. They don't know, and they're searching, so don't help them. Your job is to just ask the question, how important am I to you? Pause. Stop. Period. And then, next question, what would you do if you lost me? Stop. Let them answer. And then, next question, how free am I to leave if I want to? And then stop. Actually make those three questions. Now, the next thing that you should be asking me, or you should be thinking, is why? See, those three questions are incredible because they require deep, poised, secure, independent thought. See, most people grasp the person emotionally when they sense or they feel the person withdrawing. So spiritually speaking, I sense your vibe and your energy is desperate, and that repels me. Do you know the secret to a relationship is not being needed? Now, I said earlier that men have to be needed in a relationship or they're going to go somewhere else, right? Now I'm saying opposite. What am I saying? Do you know what emotional energy is? Women, please hear me. This is really important. Those three questions I said, how important am I to you? What would you do if you lost me? How free am I to leave if I want to? When I left my wife and I moved in with another female, I wasn't even married yet, wasn't even divorced yet. Reason why did I leave? Number one reason why I left. Women, this is important. I'm going to be honest. Number one reason, I wasn't respected. Now, my wife, I could bring her on the phone right now. Now, we have me and my wife, Brother Zach and his wife, we already did a series. If you guys don't have that series, email me. I'll let anybody listening to that series, Life After Infidelity. You must listen to that series. I let you have it for half price. It's $199. You get it for $99 today. Just email me, MasterTeacher33. So my wife does. This is what my wife told me. My wife said, I created an environment for you to do your business. She did. What does that mean? That means that my wife said, you know what, honey? Let me take the lion's share of the bills. You just pay the mortgage. I'll pay the rest of the bills. And she said, honey, you know what? I'm going to take care of the kids. I'm going to share everything. I want to create a safe environment. So that way you can just focus on your business, on your online, what you're doing online, writing books and stuff. I'm going to hold it down while you do that. My wife is thinking she's doing everything for me. When I married my wife, her father was still buying her birthday gifts, Christmas gifts, Easter gifts. He still does it today. Women, please hear me. Now, my wife is still making the same mistake. I've just grown, and I've just accepted it. However, if it's not corrected, I'm being honest, my wife is probably listening. My wife already knows how I feel. I feel like my wife is married to her father. She's not married to me. Why? Why would her? I mean, we've been together for how long? Why in the hell do I still feel like that? Something goes on, who did my wife call first? Her father. Women, that's a kiss of death in your relationship. I don't care what happens in your relationship. The number one man in your life must be your husband. If it's not, you do not have a marriage or a relationship. Now, women don't get that. I don't know why. It's not that difficult. It doesn't seem that difficult to me. It doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem like a man is asking that much to be respected. But you mean to tell me, even me, women, you listening to me and you got a man. And you go to your man and you say, well, hey, Brother Will said you just kiss your relationship. Mwah. You can never, don't throw me under the bus. Even if I did say it, don't tell your man that I said it. Never tell a man what another man said. You could be listening to, and it could be true. You could be talking to Tony Robbins. You could talk to President Obama. But when you talking to your man, your man is President Obama. That's respect. The reason that relationships don't love doesn't work because women, you're disrespecting your man and you don't even know it. Why? Because you bring up some other dude in front of your man? That's the way men think. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me either. But that's just the way my brain thinks. I'm like, why am I competing with your father? This fool goes out and buy this big old Easter basket. I don't even celebrate Easter. So I don't get nothing. You know what my wife told me? She told me that I'm waiting for you to do the things for me that my father does. Now, please think about that, what I just said. We've been married for a long time. Now, my wife is waiting. So her definition, now remember, my wife's definition of love. So I'm doing all this stuff for my wife, but my wife is waiting. So what's wrong with my marriage? My wife doesn't feel love, even though I'm giving it. Because I'm giving the wrong type of love. And I don't feel respect even though my wife is giving it because she's giving me the wrong type of respect. She's creating an environment that is free for me to work in. I want her to listen to, you know, how many of my shows my wife listened to? How many of my books have my wife read? None. Now, the lady that I cheated on with, how many of my books have she read? All of them. How many of my shows has she listened to? All of them. You see the problem? Yeah. And women, guess what? You're doing the same mistake that my wife is doing. My wife's still doing a mistake. She doesn't understand it. She said, well, honey, I'm doing this. You know, now, my wife is at the bar right now with her friends. She comes back, she's going to probably listen to the show. She's going to be a little upset. Honey, why are you putting our business out on Main Street? Y'all know I keep it real. Why? That's the only, no, bring TD Jakes in here, man. Bring Creflo Dollar in here. Leaders are not transparent. They're not honest. That's why the shizness don't work. The only way life works is if you are authentic. That's why your business is not working, because you're not authentic. See, the universe does not respond to fake people. So you mean to tell me you got this multi-level marketing scheme? The universe knows that scheme is not you, because you're not a scheme. The universe knows that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So God knows it, man. So you're offering up to the universe something that it can't accept, because it doesn't identify it. God only responds to his own. God only responds to love. So if you're in something and you don't love it, God is not going to respond to it, because you're not on his frequency. You're not on his wave. You're not on his vibration. God knows that you're fake. He knows you're phony. And that's why love doesn't work. Love must be tough, brother. Love must be tough, sister. That means that it has to be real. It has to be authentic. And so I teach this. I do this 24/7. Just because. y'all better stop playing. Just because I don't call you on something doesn't mean I don't see something. How important am I to you? What would you do if you lost me? How would you feel if I am gone? Those three questions will let you know if you're in a relationship or not. Why? What? And now, knowing all of this, you should be asking myself, well, Brother Will, you know what? Knowing all that stuff, dude, why did you come back? You was gone. Now, the woman that I left my wife for provides everything that my wife doesn't. That's why I left. So the question you should be asking yourself, well, if the woman that you left your wife for, Doc, was so great, why the hell did you stay over there? Let me give you the answer to that question. People do not grasp the other person and or beg. Now, hopefully that doesn't make sense, because I said it in reverse. No one wants, really. I am a single standing column of waveform duality called energy. So are you. I am looking for a single standing column of waveform energy. So why did I come back? I came back because my wife doesn't need me. I came back because my wife wants me. Now, let that sink in. Right now, you're in a relationship because you attracted that person because you need something that that person got. I came back because my wife doesn't need me. There's nothing. Everything that I can do, my wife can do better. And everything that my wife can do, I can do better. I don't need nothing for my wife. My wife doesn't need nothing from me. So guess what? I'm free to go anytime I want. Let me answer those three. Let me answer those three questions in my relationship. How important am I to you? How important am I to my wife? I know that I am the most important thing to my wife. So how do I know that? If my wife doesn't make me feel that, see, I got tricked. I don't know if you got tricked. I got conned. Did you get conned? That's why I got conned. That's how the devil got me. Let me tell you, see, the devil hides in the detail. See, the devil can make you feel some shizness that ain't real. So I felt disrespected. I felt unloved. I felt like I wasn't valuable. I felt like I was needed. But it was false. See, I was afraid. And my fear manifested in my head, and I was fighting imaginary demons. So are you. Men, all that stuff you feel about your woman is false. How I know? I did the same shizness. Let me make sure you understand how dangerous this is and why love must be tough. See, my wife don't even know, so she did. You can bring, I can bring her on the show right now. I'm a therapist, so it's my job to know why. It's not her job. So she's not supposed to know this stuff. I get paid to know this stuff. This is how I make a living. And I'm damn good at what I do. I make sure I understand both sides of the fence. I'm not interested in what the devil does. I want to know why and how he does it. I'm not interested in what God does. I want to know why and how he does it. So you can bring any miracle to me, and I can tell you that's what a Christian magician is. Now, I know you believe and you think that, oh, that God does it by some mystical power and some other bullshitness. I can give you the quantum physics that explains it. I can break down any demonic entity, spell, or whatever, and I can break down any spiritual thing. Oh, God just miraculously transfigured himself. Really? How did he do it? You just worry about the fact that he fed, he turned water into wine. I don't care what he did, how, and why. That's how relationships work. So my wife saved her marriage, and she don't even know how. How did she save my marriage? She answered those three questions for me. See, I used to be Captain Save a Blank, and I thought my wife needed saving. When I met her, I was like, oh, you know what? Let me, she was this, that, and the other, but my stinking thinking, I was the one that had the problem, not my wife. And so I went into this relationship, and when I left, guess what my wife did? Went on. She was firm. She was fair, and she was consistent. I would come by the house, the new dude would be in there, they'd be in the backyard, you know, having a barbecue. My wife didn't miss a beat. It's like I was never here. Now, for most people, that would destroy their self-esteem. For me, what did it do? Now, I'm a therapist, so I understand the game. Most people, they would be groveling. See, I did not come back because I needed my wife. In fact, the grass was greener on the other side for me. The grass was easier on the other side. Maybe not necessarily, not necessarily greener. See, most people would have panicked. My wife didn't. Most people would have went groveling and begging their mate to come back. My wife didn't. Most people would have said, honey, I can't live without you. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm suicidal. I'm going to jump off a bridge. You know, I need you to pay this. I need you to do that. Blah, 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 blah. What about the kids? Somebody? My wife didn't. My wife did none of those things that everybody else do in a relationship. Do not grasp the other person and beg them. That's the kiss of death in a relationship. Your job is to continue without them. Love must be tough for it to last. Fear, the automatic response when somebody leaves is for you to grab them and say, please, honey, don't go. My wife told me, did you need help packing? I said, but oh, you understand, I'm leaving you for another woman. That's great. My wife would call. When I left, she called. We talked every day on the phone. Hey, how y'all doing? Y'all doing okay? So you know, I'm expecting her to be crying, emotionally distraught. Now, when I got back, found out she actually was crying. She was, but my wife plays chess, not checkers. See, many of y'all, see, the devil, he plays chess. He don't play checkers. So y'all are playing checkers instead of playing chess. And in love, you can't play checkers. You got to play chess. You got to be 10 moves ahead of the devil. So all of these little mind games that are played in relationships, they don't work on my wife. They don't work on me either. So I met my emotional and mental match. Now, the other areas, but see, I'm a deep thinker. I'm a master teacher 33. I can't do shallow shiznits. I need somebody who can think deeply, 10 moves ahead, like me. So the other areas that my wife falls short in, that's not what I need. I'm not interested. What do I want? Forget what you need. What you need is not important. Crazy, right? This is how the universe. Do you know that the universe doesn't respond to your needs? Because God knows you don't need shit. You know that that's a fictitious, imagination. What does that mean? The Bible says that you have been given everything that you need for life and godliness. everything. Let me say it again. The Bible says that God, when he died on the cross, said it is finished. There is nobody listening to my voice right now that needs nothing. You got an imaginary need. Now, you may want. Now, see, the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. You know the difference between a need and a want? Maybe you don't. Let's break this down. Now, if you are in a relationship, and you're sending out the vibe of, honey, I need you, honey. I need you. Your relationship is not going to work. If you need is sending out and it repels. The need says, I'm a slack, slowful slugger. When you say that, I know that you're not a slack, slowful slugger, but you didn't read my book, The Ultimate Secret to Being Rich, or you didn't read the book of Proverbs, where it says, the Bible says, go consider the ant, you slugger. So God calls you a sluggard anytime you go to him and you come to him and you pray to him instead of praying as him. They don't teach that in seminary. Cemetery. They don't teach that at the cemetery, brother. They don't teach that at the cemetery. Go to church on Sunday. They tell you get on your knees and pray to God. And you are God. Now, I know that's contrary to your theology, but what does God say? God says that you are my offspring. God says that you are a royal priest. God says that you can come boldly to the throne of grace. God said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would I give good gifts to my children who ask? So God says, don't come to me begging, groveling, pleading. God said, don't do that. So when your mate does something, don't go to your mate begging, groveling, and pleading. Your mate doesn't respect that. Your mate only respects his equal. Which says, if you want to go, go. Don't let the doorknob hit you on the way out. Love must be tough, homie. Love must be tough. I don't care how you feel. Your feelings are not important. Yeah, you don't want him to go. But if that fool wants to go, hasta la vista, baby. God bless you. Have a good life. Now, people tell me all the time, but Doc, what are you saying, brother? Do you understand how universal law works? Universal law doesn't respond to desperation. It doesn't. When you are desperate, you actually repel the thing that you want. This is the universe. The universe responds to like. The universe responds to people who be the solution. Let me make sure you understand what I just said. The universe only responds to people who are like it. You must be the universe. You must be the solution. You must be the solution to the problem that you have. You must be being the solution. You must be it now, not tomorrow. You must be wealth. You must be health. You must be wisdom. You must be a relationship. You can't go get it. You got to be it. What? Hold up. Let me get this right. So you're telling me I got to be a millionaire and I ain't got a dime in my pocket. Damn Skippy. You will never have a dime until you already got the dime. The secret to being rich is already being rich. That's why I don't have a book called The Ultimate Secret to Getting Rich. My book is called The Ultimate Secret to Being Rich. Most people don't understand. That's why the book don't sell. And I'm not pushing it. Do you understand the difference between being and getting? It's the difference between needing and wanting. Being is a conscious existence now. It's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen. Faith is now. Why? The Bible says now faith is. Please read it, Hebrews 11. Notice faith is now. But hold up, Doc, you don't understand, brother. I got this pain in my back. I don't give up. I got a pain in my back. Just got out of the hospital. You think I'm wondering? I don't care about no pain in the back. I'm going to the gym today. Why? Now. The pain doesn't exist, but you feel it. That's false evidence appearing real. Now, brothers and sisters, this is why people tell me that I'm a little cuckoo. And to be successful in life, you got to be cuckoo. I'm sorry. I'm a little thrown off. Everybody in my family know me. They say, yeah, that brother Will, man. Yeah, man, he's a good dude, but ain't that brother just now? He wound a little tight. So I'm talking to people that are wound a little tight. That means that you're conscious. The word be, something that exists now. So you need to be which now. You need to be healthy now. You need to be spiritual now. And you need to be in a good relationship now. It can't be tomorrow because tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never comes. So whatever you're trying to do, do it now. What does that mean? Mentally, your mindset must be one of now. It cannot be tomorrow because the brain doesn't recognize tomorrow. The brain only, that's why virtual reality is crazy. Do you know that virtual reality tricks the brain into thinking that is now? So could you imagine if you could get you a virtual reality machine where you're rich? I don't know if anybody developed that already, but I need to hook up with somebody who knows how to do virtual reality stuff. Because if you could live in a virtual reality simulator for about 2 or 3 hours a day where you are being, because the brain thinks that you are, where you're walking around, that's what a vision board is. There's this dude who became a millionaire. Guess how he became a millionaire? He came out with this thing called mind movies. If you've never heard of a mind movie, please go to Google and type it in. It'll blow your cookies. Now, this dude is in Australia. He's a multimillionaire. He was broke. He was penniless. He was deadbeat. And he did this thing called mind movie. Now, a mind movie is you make a movie of yourself doing all the things that you want. A mind movie is a positive affirmation using images and music, because the more of the five senses that you use tricks the brain into thinking that the thing that you want, you already got. That's called being. That's the difference between needing and wanting. When you want something, you say, I already got it, and I like it so much. It's like, okay, waiter, this is the all-you-can-eat menu, right? So I just ate plate one. I need plate two. That's wanting. Needing says, waiter, I don't have a plate. I want to order. And don't do that. That's the kiss of death in a relationship. A relationship says, honey, you are already the bomb. I want more of your bombness. If your wife and your mate is not already the bomb, what you're telling them is they can't be the bomb. You got to already have the bomb before you get more of it. So the thing in life is to trick the brain or yourself, because really you do have it, but you just can't see it because your consciousness has not expanded to the place to encompass it. So God already knows all of this, but you don't. So God is in the sense, oh, man. It's like something is in your peripheral vision, but you're looking to, it's on your left, but you're looking to the right. And God is saying, please look to the left. You're praying, but every time you pray, you get down and kiss the floor, and your blessing is in the west. But you're facing the east, and you're bowing down, assalamu alaikum, salam, salam, every day. Sun up, you're getting down, and you're facing the east. But your blessing is in the west. But you never, ever, 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 ever look in the west. But every day you're freaking looking in the east. And God is like, this fool, you dumb as a box of rocks. And you praying, and the thing you're praying for is right there. But you can't see it. And the reason you can't see it, because you got some really religious belief system, some BS, some bullshitness that told you to face the freaking east. Man, look to the west. Because what you're looking for, you already got. I'm closing with this story called Acres of Diamonds. If you've never heard this story, please Google it. Acres of Diamonds. It's a true story. Dude lived in Colorado. He heard about the gold rush in California. So he had his land, 10 acres of land in Colorado. And in his land, he had these big old boulders in his backyard. And he heard about the gold that was in California. And he would dig up these big rocks and these big boulders in his backyard. And he had them in his house. And he used them as a doorpost to prop open his door. And he told his dude that he sold his land to for pennies, I'm moving to California to go get rich. And the dude said, really? He said, man, what's all these places? He said, yeah, my land, I can't plant nothing on my land because my land is rocky. It's full of rocks. And so I'm going to move to California, and I'm going to strike it rich. The dude sold his land in Colorado. He moved to California, and he died panning for gold in some stream in California. And the dude who brought his land in Colorado, one of those rocks, that this dude had, and he split the rock open, and the rock was gold. This dude in Colorado was a multi-cotillionaire. Everything that he had, he left. He already had everything that he was looking for in his backyard. And he sold his land. He moved to California chasing the dream that he freaking already had. That's the story of my life and probably the stories of yours. You keep leaving and running. Dude, do that. When are you going to stop and fight for something? When are you going to stand for something? Relation, love must be tough, man. Love doesn't run. Love doesn't shrink back in the face of adversity. The reason you keep, why if I have 50 jobs, man, I ain't love none of them. I guarantee you, you'll never see my black behind doing nothing else but what I'm doing right now. You won't see me selling nothing because I love what I do. I love it. I would die for this. So until you find what you love, may God have mercy on your soul, because you're going to be forever selling your land and chasing a freaking dream. And that's what it is, a pipe dream. There's a lot of people that will sell you one. I ain't buying no pipe dream, man. I already bought 50 plus. Love must be tough. It requires you to be firm. It requires you to be fair. And it requires you to be consistent. Tell me what you need, because you don't got no need. Tell me what you want. And you don't know what you want until you already got it. I know what I want. That's why I get more of it. I'm not looking. I don't have a need. All my needs have been met already. Now I'm living the dream. I'm walking in my lane. I found my destiny. I am fulfilling. I am Master Teacher 33. I didn't go and try to get one. I didn't go to school to learn what I've done. I didn't go buy no freaking starter kit. I created my own damn starter kit. And it's your job to do the same thing, because you are God incarnate. You are an individual expression of God on this earth. I am not here telling you that you are God, brother. Please don't tell me that. I am telling you that you are an individual expression of God. The same way if I go to the ocean and I take out a cup of ocean water and I bring it home and I put it on my desk, not the ocean. Is it not? Yes. I took it out of the ocean. If I take it back and put it back in there, it is still the ocean. But I have a cup of ocean water. You are a cup of God water. You are a cup of love, brother, and you are a cup of love. And it's time that you start acting, walking, and talking, and vibrating like it, because that's what you are. And God is not going to recognize you until you recognize yourself. Neither will your mate. Love must be tough. The principles of love are tough. The principles of love oscillate and vibrate on a high standard. And that high standard is, you don't respect me because I'm going to respect myself. So if you can't respect me, you got to disrespect somebody else. And because I respect myself, I am not going to allow you to disrespect me. So when I tried to disrespect my wife said, I'm sorry, homie, you ain't disrespecting me. You want to leave? Tough. Do not grasp. Do not beg. Do not grapple. Love doesn't do that. Love is firm. Love is fair. Love is consistent. If you are loving yourself, you don't got time to grovel. You ain't got time to beg. You ain't got time to plead. You are too busy oscillating and vibrating as a single standing column of wave form energy. That's what my wife is. That's what I am. Two. Come together as one. Two halves can't come together. You got to be a whole. So you work on yourself. Get yourself together. Then you're eligible to get with somebody else. My brothers and my sisters, make sure that your love is tough. Do not depend upon another for the satisfaction of your emotional needs. Maintain your own energy. Be your own source. Enemy is trying to trick you into thinking is that your mate needs something, and he doesn't. The biggest mistake that I've made in my entire life was to think that it was my job to go save somebody. Don't nobody need saving. Everybody needs or wants wanting. I want to be wanted. I don't want to be needed. I want somebody to want me because of me. Because I am a single standing column of waveform energy. I want somebody to see it, to recognize it, and say, hey, yeah, that looks just like me. I want to hang out with that. I want somebody to, I want to be firm. I want to be fair. I want to be consistent. I want to exercise faith, discipline, and order. I want to have focus, discipline, and order. I want to have love, joy, and peace. I want to make sure, my brothers and sisters, that I am expressing, that I am exposing, that I am expanding my God-given diaconia. And it is my prayer that you want to do the same thing. Express, expose, and expand. Not somebody else's dream, not somebody else's desires, but what God has placed inside of you. Put something inside of you that the universe needs. And I'm waiting for you to be you. Stop being fake. Dare to be you. Be you. Dare to be you, or you're going to die a copy. My brothers, my sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers. I want everybody to join me later on tonight as we continue going down this golden trail of the cerebral spinal fluid. We're talking about the fluid of God, the fluid of love. It's a powerful series. Again, email me, masterteacher33.com at gmail.com for more information. My brothers and my sisters, God bless you. Enjoy your Sabbath day. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, 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 ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but know the same pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly avert to bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn want something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you might snap out the acting, yo. You going up to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
And they beating